3, 2, 1.
Welcome to It's Fabulous!
True personal stories.
Exfabula is a Milwaukee nonprofit committed to strengthening community bonds through the art of storytelling.
And it's time again for Exfabula Radio on Lake Effect Weekend here on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Rachel Owens, and joining us again is Exfabula co-founder Leah Delaney. Hello.
Hello, hello. How are we?
Doing pretty well. Staying warm. Wearing a lot of sweaters these days.
Yeah. Milwaukee, I'm telling you, within a matter of like 20 seconds, all of a sudden the temperature dropped 20 degrees. So
definitely. Well, it is November, so I guess we have to face up to that fact. And
yes,
that means that there are some more events coming up from Exfabula we want to hear about.
Yes, yes. Today's theme is Risking It. And the reason why is that we have an event coming up on November 17th in collaboration with the South Milwaukee Performing Arts Center. A special Risking It storytelling event is going to be featuring Exfabula curated tellers plus selected members of the community sharing their own true personal stories. So, and afterwards, the community and student storytelling workshops will proceed. So that'll be really, really fantastic. And a little quick note about, sometimes you hear the Exfabula storytellers either like on the radio or you've seen them on stage a couple of times at our story slams or events. These particular stories from curated storytellers are going to be completely new Risking It stories. So I would definitely recommend getting your tickets for this particular event. And I do believe this is our first foray into the adventures at South Milwaukee Performing Arts Center. So,
all right. It's a very nice facility there, too, I have to say.
Yeah, that's what I hear. So, yes, that. And then we have a couple of other things coming up. But Risking It is the theme today. And I did bring a couple Risking It stories. So if we care to jump right in. Our first story is from Jen Heppner from our actual Risking It themed show in September 2016. Let's listen to Jen's story.
I went to school at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, big party school, right? And as a lot of college students, I was pretty poor during my college days. And I remember one summer, I lived in a really tiny apartment with three other girls. We shared a bedroom, and it was hot. It was hotter than hell. There was like only windows on one side of the apartment, no air conditioning, just a couple of fans. And so we didn't spend a lot of time there. I spent most of my time during that summer working. I had two jobs, and I took a couple classes, and then I would party in the evenings. One really hot, steaming night, I was at a party, and I encountered a young man who was quite attractive. We were, you know, feeling each other and getting in the groove, and we went for a walk, and we started making out. And then I remember thinking, oh, you know, I want to get with this guy, but I don't really want to go back to my apartment because it's hot, it's cramped, there's these other ladies there, and we all share a bedroom. And he was like, well, I'm from out of town, and I'm here with a whole bunch of other people in, you know, a small apartment too. So we were at the Union Terrace, which is outside on Lake Mendota. A nice pier out there. It was like 4 a.m. And so there's nobody around. So we started getting busy on the pier, and it was great. It was awesome. It was like, yeah, it's kind of like, you know, we're doing something you're not supposed to do. Plus it was just having sex, and it was great. And in the middle of it all, I hear this and I'm like, I look over, I'm laying on the ground, and there's this boot right there by my face. And I look up, and it's a police officer. And I was like, oh. And the guy didn't notice. He was still going. And I'm like, tap, 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 tap on his shoulder. And he looks at me like, what? And I'm like, and he looks up at the police officer, and oh, man, what a buzzkill. Anyway, so He told us that we needed to stop doing what we were doing and get dressed. And then he was using words like public indecency and illegal things, and we were breaking the law. And as we are getting dressed, he gets out this big pad of paper And it's like, you know, to make, write us a ticket. And I was like, oh, man. So he started with the guy first, asking his name and address and contact information. And then he came to me, and I was like, So my name's Jennifer Heppner, okay? And I lived in Madison at the time. But when he said, what's your name, ma'am? I was like, Kelly Chmielewski. Can you spell that, please? C-H-M-I-E-L-E-W-S-K-I. And where do you live? 1109 Daisy Lane, Oconomowoc, Wisconsin. Oconomowoc, can you spell that, please? O-C-O-N-O-M-O-W-O-C. And he believed me because I could spell all that stuff just like that without even hesitating. I got away with it. No, I'm not Kelly Chmielewski, but she was my pen pal when I was like in fifth, sixth, and seventh grade. And so I had written her name and her address multiple times on envelopes. Well, she was my pen pal, and she's actually my step cousin, because her grandma married my grandpa when they were like in their 60s. And this worked so well that I used it a couple more times because I got caught for underage drinking and stuff too. And I would just make sure I never had any ID on me. I'm just like, C-H-M-I-E-L-E-W-S-K-I. Yes, sir, officer, O-C-O-N-O-M-O-W-O-C. I look back on that now, and I feel kind of guilty because Kelly is a real person, and that was her real address. And I'm like, ooh, did she have to go to court and contest some things? Like, I was in Montana at the time. I wasn't on the pier in Madison having sex. So I feel like maybe I should reach out to her and just see how that all went down. But at any rate, sometimes when you risk it, you might need to have a good alias.
And that was Jen Heppner's very saucy little tale that she told at our Risking It Storytelling Slam in 2016.
I wonder if she ever reconnected with the real Kelly and to see how many tickets, outstanding tickets, or court appearances she had to make on her behalf.
I know. We should probably like ask her to come in to do a follow-up on the story sometime.
It'd be more like one of those radio call-in shows where you get the person on the line, you've been ghosted.
Yeah. So yes, risking it is the theme today. I actually have a little personal story about risking it. Me and my new relationship, my boyfriend and I, are going down to South Africa on my first international trip, and as well as our first international trip together. So that's very exciting. And
absolutely.
Hopefully we'll both come back in one piece.
We want to hear some stories about that.
Yes. Yeah. I'll chew your ear off about those when maybe on and off air, actually. So the next event that we have coming up is, of course, on November 17th. For our Risking It Storytelling event that's going to be held at the South Milwaukee Performing Arts Center. But we also have an Equal Access Story Circle on November 14th, which is free for individuals with disabilities as part of our Equal Access Project this year, which is an ongoing project that we have going on. And this event is going to allow you to practice sharing your true personal stories in a social environment and get feedback from other attendees. It's kind of like a story slam, but smaller, non-competitive, and less formal. And plus, we'll have people sign up to tell stories rather than pull names out of the hat. So you can come tell a story or just come to listen, but please pre-register to guarantee your seat.
That sounds like a good way for people who are maybe a little shy, but they want to start telling a story, maybe a good soft way to jump into it.
Most definitely. And this Equal Access Story Circle is just a really fantastic way for everybody in the community, people with disabilities and such, and not just physical, but mental disabilities as well, to come in and share their stories in a comfortable environment. So we're really excited about this project for sure. Let's get back to the theme of the day, which is risking it. Our second story was told by Tommy Vandergriff. So let's listen to her risking it moment.
My name's Tommy. I first came into service learning in 2009 as a UWM student, and I worked with the River Revitalization Foundation, and I actually still volunteer with them today. So it was a great experience for me, and when I started at the International Institute of Wisconsin, where I work now, I heard we worked with service learners, and I knew I wanted to do that. So I asked for that project. At the International Institute, we resettle refugees. So when they get into Milwaukee, we get them housing, get them settled in the city. The service learners do the stuff we can't do as caseworkers. So they go into their homes, they're their mentors for 3 or 4 months. They help them around Milwaukee, help them with homework, and that's kind of their role. So when I started, I was told, don't place any mentors with special needs families. And I was like, okay, because they seem like they need the most help, so I was confused. And they said students wouldn't understand at that age how to help them or how to work with them. So I didn't, for probably a year, place anybody with any special needs families of any kind. And then we got this family in from Burma, and it was a single mom with 5 kids, and then she brought her brother-in-law along with her, and she didn't have to. Her husband had died, but he was blind. And they really, really wanted mentors. And we really wanted to give them mentors because they had kids from, I think, 5 to 17 with this one mom who had to work and then her brother-in-law who couldn't work. So I thought, okay, I'm gonna give it a go. I placed them with some UWM mentors. And the first couple of weeks were shaky. I thought maybe I made a mistake. They were emailing me like, we don't know what to do. He can't see. Like, how do we teach him? And I was like, well, think outside the box. And like, I kind of gave them some ideas. And then the feedback sheets, I get them every week from every mentor. I'm supposed to. These two are pretty good about sending them. I could see the change. They are figuring out ways to teach him English without seeing, which was great. They found ways to include him in activities and get him out of the house. Isolation is a huge problem for refugees. And I heard around Thanksgiving, they had Thanksgiving dinner together. They helped him decorate a tree for Christmas. And at the end, I don't know how he made them because he's blind, but he made them these really pretty Karen bags that all the Karen families have if you're ever on the north side and you see them walking around. And now, because it was such a great thing, and then we gave them more mentors because they enjoyed it a lot. I make sure I place high needs families with mentors. So single moms, special needs, if it's mentally challenged or physically challenged, they all get mentors now because of these two mentors that tried really hard. So that's kind of my story.
And that was Tommy Vandergriff's story. She told at a UWM Service Learning Story Slam in May 2017.
Sounds like she really went above and beyond the call of duty.
Most definitely. Hats off to you, Tommy.
Absolutely.
So, can recap just a couple of the events. We have our November 14th Equal Access Story Circle happening. November 17th is a special Risking It storytelling event with curated tellers as well as community members telling their stories, which will be fantastic. Also, you know, other things you can get online aside from information and tickets is our membership. And, you know, the holidays are creeping up on us. You know, you might want to start thinking about giving them the gift, because that gift that you give to somebody else, that X-Fabula membership, is a huge gift to us. And then the gift comes back to you guys again. It's this very awesome thing that just, you know, it's a give and take.
It's never too early to think about giving gifts. And, oh man, the holiday season, it always creeps up on me very quickly.
Yes. Yeah.
Thank you for the gift of these stories today. And we want to wish you excellent adventures.
Thank you.
And also really looking forward to hearing your stories when you come back.
Definitely. All right. Well, I will see you in December.
All right. Happy travels.
Thanks.